Good morning, and welcome to the Word of Grace broadcast ministry brought to you by St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church in Sherbrooke, Quebec. The first broadcast of the Word of Grace took place on January 28, 1969, with the founding minister, the Reverend Donald Campbell. We are now entering into our 51st year. We are grateful to God for the comfort and inspiration which so many have received from the broadcast over the years. Financial support for our radio ministry comes from listeners throughout the Eastern Townships and beyond. We are grateful for the faithful support we have received. It is especially helpful to receive donations over the course of the year. Memorial donations given in memory of deceased relatives and friends may be made at any time. Our prayerful hope and expectation is that the broadcast will continue to be heard well into the future. Our mailing address is The Word of Grace, Box 404, Sherbrooke, Quebec, J1M1Z6. The Word of Grace, Box 404, Sherbrooke, Quebec, J1M1Z6. Remember also that you can access the program at any time on the website of CJMQ, www.cjmq.fm.
Good morning, and once again welcome to this program of the Word of Grace on CJMQ Radio, broadcasting to the Eastern Townships of Quebec. My name is Nigel Parker, Minister of St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church in Sherbrooke, and together with our supporters, we're glad to have you listening in to this broadcast. Today is Sunday the 2nd of August. Over the past weeks, we've looked at sporting metaphors in the Bible against the background of some of the events that we've gone through this summer, not the least of which has been the FIFA World Cup. But today, there's the African Women Cup of Nations, there's the AIG Women's Open Golf Tournament at Royal Lytham St. Anne's, and closer to hand, this weekend sees the start of the Canadian Open Men's and the Canadian Open Women's Tennis Championships in Montreal and in Toronto. Words from Psalm 30. I will exalt you, Lord, for you lifted me out of the depths and did not let my enemies gloat over me. Lord my God, I called to you for help and you healed me. You, Lord, brought me up from the realm of the dead. You spared me from going down to the pit. Sing the praises of the Lord, you his faithful people. Praise his holy name. For his anger lasts only a moment, but his favour lasts a lifetime. Weeping may stay for the night, but rejoicing comes in the morning.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Eternal, almighty and most gracious God, heaven is your throne and earth is your footstool. Holy and reverenced is your name. You are praised by the angels in heaven and in the gathering of your church on earth. Despite all our unworthiness, you have invited us through our mediator, Jesus Christ, to present ourselves and our prayers to you. Receive us graciously. Help us by your Spirit. Help us stand in awe of you. We come before you today, lifting our minds and hearts, choosing to fix our focus on Jesus Christ. Thank you for the glorious truth of his resurrection, and that your word can never be chained or silenced. Give us the courage to endure every hardship and challenge we face, knowing that our struggles have eternal purpose. Strengthen our faith so that we might walk worthy of your calling, and help us to always live for you. Gracious and merciful God, in Christ you show us the way of compassion and forgiveness, yet we can neglect the suffering of others and hold grudges. We blame and judge each other. But your word reminds us that you are gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. You are not to us what we are to others, and so we are glad. We would know that in Christ we are forgiven. Help us forgive one another and be at peace with God, with ourselves, and with each other. Lord, when we are weak or falter, we rest in your promises. Thank you that your steadfast love remains constant and that you are faithful forever, for you cannot deny yourself. Guide our thoughts this morning, and may our lives bring honour to your name. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our reading this morning comes from the second letter of Paul to Timothy, chapter 2, verses 1 to 8. This, we believe, is amongst one of the very last epistles to be written in the New Testament and is a parting will and testament of the Apostle Paul. 2 Timothy, chapter 2, verses 1 to 8. You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others. Join with me in suffering, like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No one serving as a soldier gets entangled in civilian affairs, but rather tries to please his commanding officer. Similarly, anyone who competes as an athlete does not receive the victor's crown except by competing according to the rules. The hard-working farmer should be the first to receive a share of the crops. Reflect on what I am saying, for the Lord will give you insight into all this. Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. This is my gospel, for which I am suffering even to the point of being chained like a criminal. But God's word is not chained. Therefore I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they too may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Amen.
Should I feel discouraged? And why should the shadows
come. Why should my heart be lonely and long for heaven and home when Jesus is my portion, a constant friend is He. Oh, His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. And I know that He watches over me. Don't you know that I sing?
I sing
because I'm happy.
Because I'm happy.
And I sing.
Paul was probably a sports fan. He often used sporting illustrations. Fight the good fight of faith, run the race, wrestle in prayer. In last week's letter, we looked at the Apostle Paul when he said that bodily training is some value. And may there be the way he phrased it, it could be dismissive, possibly taking a swipe at sports-crazed Ephesus, where much effort was spent training men for sporting contests at pagan festivals. But given his love for sporting analogies, and the fact that he just said that the physical creation is to be received with thanksgiving, I think he's saying that physical training has real value. It's limited rather than little value. In this second letter of Timothy, he uses three images to make his point about following after God. And the first is an illustration from the army. Verse 4, no one serving as a soldier gets entangled in civilian affairs, but rather tries to please his commanding officer. The second image, the one we'll look at today, is of the athlete. Similarly, no one who competes as an athlete will receive the victor's crown except by competing according to the rules. And the third one is from the image of agriculture. The hard-working farmer should be the first to receive a share of the crops. As I say, we'll look at the discipline of the athlete this morning. What does an athlete do? They compete according to the rules. In the ancient Olympic Games, athletes had to swear before the statue of Zeus that they had strictly trained for 10 months prior to the event. And similarly, today's elite athletes devote their entire lives to training and competition. Yet athletes can be disqualified by breaking just one major rule and even have prior medals or awards taken away. An athlete knows that there are no shortcuts. Organisers of the 2023 Mexico City Marathon had disqualified roughly 11,000 runners after they were found to have cheated through the use of bikes, cars or public transport. As reported by Reuters, an investigation into cheating accusations in the August 27th marathon found that approximately just a third of the participants had cut sections of the course through other modes of transport. The disqualified runners did not make it through several checkpoints placed throughout the race, which was a course of over 26 miles in length. There were no shortcuts. Proverbs chapter 24 and verse 30 says, I passed by the field of a sluggard, by the vineyard of a man lacking sense, and behold, it was all overgrown with thorns, the ground was covered with nettles, and its stone wall was broken down. Then I saw and considered it. I looked and received instructions. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will become upon you like a robber, and want like an armed man. Not frantic effort, not perfectionist effort, but steady, daily, intentional effort wins the prize. Effort that chooses obedience when compromise is easier, that seeks wisdom when ignorance is comfortable, that practices self-control when impulsive flare, holds steady when trials hit, honours God in the small hidden moments, loves people without conditions. An athlete knows that there are no shortcuts, and in the race of faith and the journey of life, there are no shortcuts. Secondly, for this morning, an athlete knows that there are no quick fixes. An athlete knows that there are no quick fixes. Lance Armstrong is an American former professional road racing cyclist. He achieved international fame for winning the Tour de France a record 7 consecutive times from 1999 to 2005. But he was stripped of his titles in 2012 after an investigation into doping allegations found that Armstrong used performance-enhancing drugs over his career. And so he'd been banned for life from all sanctioned bicycling events since 2012, though he'd retired from professional cycle racing in 2011. On September the 24th, 1988, Ben Johnson won the 100 metres final at the Summer Olympics in Seoul, South Korea, lowering his own world record to 9.79 seconds. However, Park Yong-sae of the Olympic Doping Control Centre found that Johnson's urine sample contained stenozolol and that he was disqualified 3 days after the race. They had tried quick fixes, but they had lost. It is possible in the Christian life to be told, if only you read and do what this book tells you, it will solve all your problems. If you only go to this conference, it will give you victory over all your repetitive sins. If you only sought this experience of the Holy Spirit or other, then you'll be such a better Christian. Now, good literature, conferences, the abiding work of the Holy Spirit all have their place in helping a Christian grow into likeness to Jesus. But there is no quick fix to the problem of sin dwelling within. Think of the way that God works. Could it be that God values processes? Why did the all-powerful God take 6 literary days to create the heavens and the earth? Surely he could have snapped his fingers and everything could have come into being in an instant. Why did he space out his creation out of the world? Maybe God places value on processes, on giving time for things to grow. And some of Jesus' parables, the parable of the sower, the parable of the weeds, the parable of the mustard seed, depict God as a farmer who sows seeds and waits for them to grow. And perhaps it is through a process that God can accomplish his will in a way that a quick fix would not have done. If a quick fix also means a quick judgment, would we still want it? If God were always into solving things quickly, I shudder to think what the implications are. For one thing, if he had a quick solution to sin, then that might mean he would have destroyed humanity once it became sinful, to get rid of sin entirely. But by waiting, however, God gives us time to repent so that we can be saved. The Bible tells us that God is patient with us, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. He is a compassionate, gracious, and forgiving God who abounds in love and faithfulness and is slow to anger. If God always heals us or provides for us swiftly, we won't have to work through the deeper issues of why we are so troubled or shaken by such trials. Perhaps God allows us to go through them so that he can do a deeper work in us, enabling us to face future struggles with hope, joy, and complete trust in him. So let us thank God that he gives us the time to repent, that the God that we follow is not a God of shortcuts and is not a God of quick fixes in the area of our sin. Amen.
He leadeth me, oh blessed thought, oh words with heavenly comfort fraught. Whate'er I do, where'er I be, still 'tis God's hand that leadeth me. He leadeth me, he leadeth me. By his own hand he leadeth me. His faithful follower clasp thy hand in mine, nor ever murmur nor repine. Content whatever lot I see, since God through Jordan leadeth me. And when my task on earth is done, Jordan leadeth me. Oh, he leadeth me, he leadeth me. By his own hand he leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by his hand he leadeth me.
Let us pray. We give you thanks and praise, O Lord, for you rule forever in faithfulness. In you is salvation with eternal glory. With awesome power you created the heavens and the earth, and through water and fire you saved for yourself a people. In Jesus the Christ Your word settled among us, making us in our brokenness and suffering, and in mercy, bringing us healing and a way to wholeness. Your Son was chained like a criminal and crucified, and when he died, we died with him. But you raised him from the dead, so that we might also live with him, forever shouting the wonder of your deeds and singing the glory of your name. Heavenly Father, how blessed we are to have your word which teaches, trains, convicts and corrects us, instructing us in disciplined obedience and tutoring us in righteousness. We pray that we may learn to be watchful and sober in all things, enduring hardship, doing the work of an evangelist, fulfilling our ministries. Keep us low at the cross, Lord, broken before you and protected from false teachings, and enable us to fight the good fight of faith for your praise and glory. Aware of our own needs and the great need around us, we remember Christ's compassion, and we offer our prayers for the world, seeking your guidance, that we may do our part to share comfort, healing, and hope. We pray for those who are hungry or homeless, and all those feeling the stress of rising prices. For those who have lost shelter and support in fires or flooding or drought. Give the leaders in our communities and our nation wisdom and courage to work together to make decisions for the well-being of the most vulnerable. God of comfort, draw near to all who face unexpected sorrow this summer and join with those who celebrate happy occasions too. Be our bread for the journey to sustain us and encourage us, whatever the days ahead hold for us. And together we say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, evermore. Amen.
You've been listening to the Word of Grace broadcast ministry brought to you each Sunday at this time by St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church in Sherbrooke, Quebec. Our church is located on Queen Street in Lennoxville. We have a strong tradition of service in this area. We continue to work for the advancement of Christ's kingdom. We honor the past and welcome the future by being faithful in the present. I encourage you to worship in a church of your choice, a place where you can grow in your faith and actively serve in the cause of Christ. Our prayer is that each church in our community will be blessed as we are faithful to God. Please consider supporting our broadcast with a financial donation. We rely upon your support. Tax receipts are issued for contributions. Our mailing address is The Word of Grace, Box 404, Sherbrooke, Quebec. The postal code is J1M1Z6. The Word of Grace, Box 404, Sherbrooke, Quebec, J1M1Z6. Bye for now. Thanks for listening, and may God's blessing be with each one of us.